Well, I was looking at the stats, and I don't know if I told you this or not, but we passed 745,000 people this month was our total. And I tell you, it is crazy. You know, I shared in my newsletter, and you know, when I first started, this is kind of what my sermon's about. It's called Determined. And that's what my sermon's about. And you know, when I first started the station and stuff and everything, I was excited to see 200, 300 people. And then something happened. You know, something has happened in my faith for something to happen in my life. Amen? And when I start looking at our statistics and everything, they tripled from 39,000 to 16,000. They doubled to 39,000. And then in September, 222,000. And then now 745,000 people have gone through our sites. And I wasn't telling pastor, we got to get busy on writing, because, you know, they are looking more at the written stuff versus the listening stuff and the video stuff. So, you know, it's something about the written word that changes someone. And they're going through all my blogs and stuff. So I'm going to build a whole new thing, add it in there. It's going to be a magazine with there's articles for men of God and things like that. And just a whole new feature we're going to start adding. Pastor, of course, going to be one of the main features. He got all these great sermons. And we just got to type them out and put them in. We got plenty of people to help us do that. Right, Pastor? So that is a blessing thing. You know, at times in our lives, you got to be determined. Yeah, in other words, what does determined mean? It means to have one's mind made up. Amen? That means that it's already decided in your mind. It means unwavering. It means no matter what, you're determined. You look at all the athletes in the world, and the ones that you see when they win, they knew they were going to win. Any of the sports that you look at, because they were determined they're going to make it. And I tell you what, God gives us many things in life, and sometimes He gives you ideas, He gives you concepts, He gives you insights, He gives you things that you know that was from Him. How many of us have ever got something that we knew that God gave us that idea, or God gave us that encouragement that our life was better than where it's at today? I'm telling you, when you look at that thing, you see a lot of people in life, you can say, you know what? There was one time that I could see further than where I'm at right now, and that was God. That was God adding that to your life, giving you that insight and that wisdom. I tell you what, at times, you're going to get promises from God. You're going to get things that only are made for you. I've been at some churches and where they have prophetic words, and I always visit this one called Revival Fire out there in a spring. And whenever y'all want to make a metro trip of it on the last Saturday of a month, y'all let me know, and we can do that. Me and Pastor's been there and a couple of times, I think. And every time I go there, the man of God, he preaches a good word. He does a good sermon, and then he does a great praise and worship, and he stays on just a prophetic anointing for like the last hour and a half. And he doesn't go beyond an hour and a half, he said, because that's what God told him to do. And you just see him walk around, and one thing he always says, because everyone that goes there, 99% of those that are first-time visitors get something really good, really inspiring in their lives. Pastor went there one day with me, he got a word. Next time, I think, you went there once or twice, Pastor? One time. And he got a word right there. And I tell you what, everything they told Pastor, I know, right? Everywhere. And when the man would always say, you know what, this is for you, but those around you can claim it too, amen? Those around you, if you feel it fitting your life, claim it. But you know what? Sometimes you just get that one thing that's for you. That's yours. So I want to talk a little bit about, if we could, I want to look at one character in the Bible that had a promise early and seen it, and that's Joseph, amen? A lot of my life I look at and I see, man, sometimes you don't want to share too much because you want to be treated like Joseph. But you know what? When God's on you, you can't help. Because you know, when the faith of God and favor of God's all over you, it can't help but, what does it say? Come out overflowing. So you're just sharing things. You're just excited about life, excited what God's doing in your life. Now, God gives you nothing that comes without a price. Amen? If you want something, the price is obedience. Amen? The other price is commitment. And I think the third price is determination. You got to be determined. When you get ridiculed and people don't like what you're doing and people just get frustrated from hearing from you, I sent a newsletter out this last 2 days and I got some bad emails and I start cracking up. You know why? I said, hey, that's God. You know, when they get all ruffled and stuff, that means I hit a spiritual nerve in their body. Amen. When they see that I'm excited and one person put, you know, I don't want to hear about your good life and just don't take me off your mailing list. And I'm like, you know what? That don't matter. I emailed them back. I go, that's no problem. I'll take you off. How's life been treating you? How's God been treating you? I tell you what, if you listen to my sermons and if you look at what I'm doing, or if you just go on to the Metro Church and be a part of our worship, things are going to change for the better. I never heard from them again, but I tell you what, you know, I respect they didn't want to get emailed, no problem. But the thing is, when you know you're doing something that God's told you to do and you're determined you're going to make it, you're going to ruffle a few feathers, amen? People are going to look at you and say, how can he be so prosperous? Or how can his life be so good? And you know what? Envy comes on them. You know, and then they get frustrated. And the reason I picked Joseph is because I tell you what, out of everybody's life in the Bible, that was one man that just showed total humiliation and was a servant at the same time. How many of us can be humiliated in a way, stripped down completely, but still become the servant? How many of us are going to stay kicking and screaming and complaining and saying, oh God, why'd you do this to me? Now, this is part of what I call my Exposing Lies series. And I'm digging out these Exposing Lies series. I'm actually making them a little better with some of the psychological stuff I've been learning. But the reason I tell that is because the enemy lies to us all the time. Takes twists. He twists his truth and makes it a lie. And for years, we just let that lie linger on and accept it and everything. But, you know, when you realize it's a lie, I tell you what, you're so much closer to having the truth right there. And what does the truth see? It sets you free. It opens your eyes. It liberates. The truth of Jesus Christ liberated us from death. Amen? The truth of Jesus Christ gave us life. When people say it's over, we say it's just begun. Amen. Now, two things Joseph had in his mind. And we can look at his life. We can look at his story. And the two things that we see that he had in his mind is this. That he knew that he can get through things. He knew that he can get through everything. Now, only God, through divine intervention, begins a route for you. Amen? Because if we try and make our own route, we're going to make a mess of it. We're going to go past the stop signs we're supposed to stop at, past the red lights. And you know what we all do? We speed. Praise God. If you ever gotten the car with pastor, he looks humble and everything here at church. Praise the Lord. But I've been with him in the car going to the Whataburger or Smashburger, or making a quick run to Office Depot or Walmart to get paper. And oh, that man, get out of my way. He's Mr. Leadfoot, the original Leadfoot. But he's humble and meek. He's Superman. He's humble and meek when he's in service. But I tell you what, you know, we do. We rush. We race. We get along to places quick. And sometimes we're just so used to having it the McDonald's way right now. Fastest drive-thru in America is McDonald's. Fastest drive-thru. That's how we want our life. But our faith can't develop like that. Our faith can't develop on a fast drive-through faith. It's not going to last. It's going to be a gimme, gimme now, gimme, gimme now. But God is a patient. What does he say? If he wasn't a patient God, we'd already be over right now. Amen. If he wasn't merciful and long-suffering, he would have counted us gone a long time ago. So when I look at all that, you know, you look at what God wants us to have in our mindset and what we have to do. And the thing is, we can't choose our routes. You know, aren't you glad some of the choices you thought were right for you weren't you didn't take? I thank God. I thank God for a lot of things that seem as, because what does the Bible say? What seemeth right to man, the end thereof is death. That's scripture right there. And it's true. Sometimes we think of good things and we think we should make good these decisions, but I am glad a lot of decisions I thought were going to be good for my life, I didn't take. And that was a divine route. You know, how many times has God stopped something that you start to kick and scream about and say, no, I'm going the right way? And he said, no, this is the way I want you to go. And a little pain, little hurt here and there, but you know what? It's the right path for you. How many of us want the right path for ourselves? We can't choose a route, but one thing we can choose is the attitude during the journey. The attitude we're going to have when he takes us to go other places. Let's look at Genesis 37:2. And we all know the story. We all know the story about Joseph being 17 years old. This is verse 2. And there is a generation of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and lad was with his sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his other children. How many know that we're more loved than anyone? You know, I always admire John Reddy when he used to say, I'm God's favorite child. I used to think, you know what? No, I am. He goes, no, I am. And he always used to throw that saying out whenever I used to come to youth and stuff. And, And I just cracked up about it, but it's true, that stuck in me. You know, I'm God's favorite. So since those days, back in the early, mid-90s there, you know, I always looked at life as, I'm God's favorite. You know, Alice, you're God's favorite. You are. All of us are. We're God's favorite. And when you look at this, and you look in verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more, that all his brethren, they hated him, they could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Amen. Dreamed a dream. Don't you love that? That just sound powerful. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren. They hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, here I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. And we know the story. But what I want to cover is everything that happened to Joseph and what had to happen to him. Joseph was a young man who showed that he knew that God had him things to accomplish. How many of us know that we have things for God to accomplish? How many has been showed something, or you just know it in your heart? Me and Pastor talked a few days ago, and just about the internet stats and stuff. And he even said, "I feel something good's about to just break for this church. I feel something good's about to break for all our lives, amen, and this church." You know, something happened in September. I felt like a breakthrough in my ministry, but a breakthrough not in just ministry, but in faith. How many of you know beyond just breakthroughs in ministry and breakthroughs in jobs? Breakthrough in faith. You know, your faith is going to take you. Ministry is going to be gone. But your faith is going to last. Amen? You know, your job's there for a season. But then your faith, going from each place, faith. So when Joseph knew in his heart, he was a young man, that he had to accomplish things. He knew that he would accomplish things. It is something different when you wake up every morning. I look at all the commercials that you see on TV. I think, was it the ITT Institute, DeVry University, and a couple of other, Phoenix. They're always on showing you, don't you want something in life? Don't you want a purpose? Don't you want a meaning? Don't you want a job that can take care of your family? And you know, those are all good things, nothing wrong with them. But it makes me understand and realize the people that I've worked with, the people that I've seen over life, people don't have any expectation that they were built to accomplish something. How many of us know that we were built to accomplish something for God? And there's a difference, I'm telling you, everybody knows it in this room. There's a difference when we wake up and we know that today is not just for us today, but we were built to do something for God. It's a difference when you wake up, you put your clothes on different, amen? You shower different. You're excited that God's got something for you to do. And that's where Joseph was at. He knew that. But see, what got his brothers and everybody mad, and why his father loved him was, he just knew about God. He just loved God. He knew that he had something, and he was built to do something for God. And in his life, he just started to express that. And Joseph was hated because he had his father's love, and his future seemed promising. You know, people aren't going to be happy when they see your life. People aren't going to be happy when they see good things happening to you. They're going to be a little mad. You know, sometimes it's okay to people be mad at you. It's okay when you know they're mad at you for a righteous thing versus something that you did wrong to them. I'd rather them get mad and let them look at me and say, well, how can I change? Don't we want to be that life example for them? That why is his life so blessed? Why is his life so different than me? We go to the same job. We go home at the same time. But why is he more blessed? And that was happening with Joseph. It doesn't say in the word that he had anything more financially than his brothers. That he had a nicer robe probably. But it didn't say he had anything more than. They were all given the same shot when they came out. You know, the same walk, the same teachings, the same admiration. He just started to excel in it and accept it. How many of us know we got to just accept and excel God's favor? Amen? And so many people are depressed. I run into a lot of good friends and people that have gone over the years and just been depressed about life. Depressed about things happening to them. You know, sometimes we got to shake things off and just start working forward and say, you know what? I'm a new creature in God. Whatever I did in the past or whatever someone did to me is broken in Jesus' name. And you go on and you release it. You see, a lot of people don't know how to do that. And you look at Joseph's brothers. There are some things in their lives that they were just upset with. They were sad with. They were taking it out on poor Joseph. And as you keep going on, you're going to see this here, and these are three lies that I want to talk about. And this is Joseph when he had favor with his father, and everybody was so upset with him about that. He was obedient. But then how many times does this happen out to you? Everything looks fine. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden, these are the three lies the devil tells you. And it tells you this in scripture, almost in scripture here. And it shows that, first of all, they said they want to kill him. What does kill mean to us? Well, kill means to us the end of all things. How many of us in life feel like we're at the end of all things in some things? That it's been killed. That is a lie from the devil. You know, he was supposed to be killed, Joseph, but he wasn't killed. But he was put in a pit. What does a pit represent? No way out. How many of us look at life and we see the things that are happening and we don't feel like there's a way out? Well, whenever you feel that it's the end of things, which is a lie, and everything, whenever you feel that there's no way out, it's a lie. That means the devil is trying to act in your life, and you got to stand up. You got to stand up and believe and have faith. And the third lie that I wanted to expose there is he was sold. What does sold mean? It means you belong to something, that you're a slave. He was now a slave for life. How many of us feel in our lives we're a slave to our financial burdens? We're a slave to whatever we got, our responsibilities. We can't feel like that. We got to look at Joseph, and when he looked at life, you know, he may have been in prison in the natural, but in the spirit, he was alive. He walked it. He started moving it. Another thing is it stripped him of all his possessions, and it stripped him of all his worth. You know, one thing for sure is a lie, is because you have nothing, you're nothing. That is the biggest lie of them all, those four lies. Because you have nothing, you're nothing. We are stuck in a world that is just nothing but commodity and assets, that it makes us think because we don't have what they have, we're nothing. That is a lie from the devil. Whenever you hear it, think it, or feel it in your life or in your children's life or in your family's life, it's a lie. And you know the devil is trying to activate. See, we got to understand and we got to expose him. We got to make sure we know where he's trying to make his movement in our lives. The Bible says, like I shared last week, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, roars about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's over there trying to do his thing to get in your life. We have to expose him. So if you ever see those four lies, which is there's no way out, which is it's the end of all things, which is also that I lost my place, which is also that you are a slave for life and that you nothing means you are nothing. That is a lie. That is a lie. But you know what God had to do with Joseph? He had to strip him down. This is so important. He had to strip him down. And what he had to strip him down was for, Joseph had to realize this, that you have that in life, we are told that we have to make our own breaks. Amen? We are told that all the time, that no one else is going to make it for you. You got to make it happen. Well, you know what? That borderlines on ambition. And ambition's good, but at times it's overbearing. Ambition means I'm going to do anything to make myself successful, make myself known, make myself popular. Ambition lacks compassion. And it hurts. And that's what Joseph, even though he wasn't there, he had to realize that he could not go forward unless two things happened. He had to get this in his spirit, and that God's the only way through every situation. You know what? Can you imagine his life at that time if he was not taken and was not stripped down and was not brought through a hard life of 20, 30 years, how he would have felt? Would it was God or was it his father, his natural father, that gave him all the things and gave him all the possessions? It would have looked totally to everybody around him, even his brothers. And how many of us know that if anyone can get saved and we save our family, we've done the greatest work we can ever do? I mean, we can go out and save everybody, but if our kids aren't with us, if our cousins aren't with us, we haven't done much. And, you know, if they would have seen Joseph's life, and he would have, the whole story turned around. He'd never been to prison. He'd never been with Potiphar. He never went through a hard time to get out of prison. And all these things, they would not have seen his life and got saved. They would not have been spared. A nation would have been destroyed, because I guarantee you what, this, it's always the gold, the girls, or the glory that would take a person down. I had to borrow that from another preacher that I know. But it's very, very much true. The three G's will always get someone. They will. So he had to understand, first of all, that God's the only way through the situation. The other thing is, my ability or position in life means nothing unless it is submitted to God. You have to be able to understand, if he thought that he did this all, there would be no humility in him. There would be no humbleness in him. And he had to, you know, God was giving him something that was beyond anything he was about to give any man on earth. Can we say that about our lives? God's about to give you something that beyond any man on earth right now. And he's about to give him something so powerful that the king, a man of a country, could not figure it out. But God was about to give him the ideas, insight, and concepts in his spirit, how to take care of a nation and feed millions. And he could not let even 1 ounce of pride be in the man, because it was a dangerous spot to be in if you weren't completely, what? Position submitted to God. That is the biggest thing. Because, you know, when you get so big and you're a machine of a ministry and you're just going and going and going, you got to be submitted. You got to be completely, completely broken in your spirit that you say, God, is this from you? I am just a vessel, and I'm standing there, and there's humility, not a false humility, but a humility that says, I am doing what God's having me do. And you know what? At any instant, it could be someone else, and that's fine. You got to have that attitude and have that motion in your life. And I think that Joseph had to go through this stuff because it was something powerful. How many people know that something's powerful going to happen in our lives? And what we're going through is getting our spirit, our mind completely worded. Because you know what God says in the Word of God? He searches the hearts. He knows what the inside, he knows the to and fro in you. He knows what gets you going, what gets you upset. And he's working on those things. He's making those things perfect in his sight. Now, Joseph, you know, again, attacked. And here's another lie I want to expose here. This is a big one here. How many of us have seen Joseph's life? He's doing good. Oh, man, I'm in Potiphar's house. This is a good job and everything. And all of a sudden, the she-devil comes at him and starts to take his life, try to take his spiritual life away and everything away. And the man just runs out, naked and all. He's afraid. He don't want any part of that. And then, you know what? During that time, you know, I'm sure he could have said this. Everything was going fine and getting better until this happened. And now it's all back to the pits again. That is the biggest lie. If you ever catch yourself saying that, everything was going fine until so-and-so crossed in front of me, and I end up hitting them, and now my insurance is skyrocketing all the way up. I can't pay these bills, and everything's bad. If you ever said that lie, because it's a lie, then you know what? The enemy's just trying to activate in you, trying to keep your mind and your attitude completely out of being determined that you're going to get through it and see the good things of life. You know, sometimes, I tell you what, when I had that accident on North Park six months ago, I got a thing, I just cracked up. And the guy's like, I never seen anyone cracking up after. I go, you high? I'm like, no, I'm not high. I just know I'm giving this car to a young man that needs it. And the devil trying to take this seed. And the guy's looking at me, okay, maybe he's a little psychotic. and I'm like, it's going to be a blessing for him. And you know what? And he goes, I go, the other reason I'm laughing is your old back end's crushed. I don't even got a dent but on my license plate. And I'm the one that hit him. And I'm like, praise God. You know, you may got Geico or Allstate, but I got God. He took care of me. It was fine. But you know what? The attitude. You know, you got that lie that it's all was going great until this happened or that happened. And, you know, that is a lie that we all have to look at, and we just got to kick it out of our way. Kick it out. Submit it to the Word. Break forward on it. But one thing about Joseph was he was faithful. Praise God. And he was a good Christian, but the thing is, he was determined. He was determined that what he seen early in his life. How many of us, when we came into the walk of faith, oh, we've seen some good things in our life. We've seen good promise in our lives. We've seen awesome things. And you know what? It may have been a long time ago that we've seen that. But you know what? We got to be determined. We got to be determined that the very things that we've seen that we're going to do, we're still going to do. Amen? It may be delayed just a little bit, but it's happening. It's going to happen. And then another thing was that Joseph, because he still lifted up his name, he still lifted up God's name, that he was able to, even in slavery, even being sold, he was still given rank. He was still able to be lifted. You know, God lifts you wherever you're at. You're a child of God. God's promoting you wherever you're at. Oh, I tell you what, I hear it all the time when I'm at work. It's silly. And I admit it. I mean, it tickles me sometimes. I tell you what, everywhere I've gone, someone's trying to give me a promotion and working and doing things and stuff. You know, not just because who I am, but it's because whom I am with the Lord, who I serve, who I walk with. I'm a good worker and all, but I don't work just as much as anyone else. But I'm diligent, I'm faithful, whatever. But, you know, I really know it's been favor of God. And that's just on you. God's got a promotion thing. He got like this promotion thing going. He loves promoting people. Amen. He loves moving people up. So even at the job, everyone's griping. Everyone's messing with things. Say, oh, we don't want to be here. Then they go, but you know what? They love you, Yanez. They do. They go, they love you. Anytime you want to go and take another management spot, they'll give it to you in a heartbeat. And they go, why don't you do it? And I just smile. And I'm like, well, I got other plans. God's got other plans. He ain't told me to do it. Every time I'm in there, someone tells me, not just my immediate guys I work with, but other people, man, why don't you take the job? You know, they give it to you. Ain't that God? Gives you just favor wherever you're at. He's giving you favor. And you know, these people just love me and stuff. And I say, praise God. But you know, that's one thing that Joseph held on to. Just because he was in a prison, just because he was Potiphar's servant, just because they put him in a prison, and for the years that he was in there, he was still having that favor. You know, they made him the warden of all things. He took care of everybody. That is God's favor, even in your hardest times. No, the favor has never left you. The favor has never left you, and that's another lie. This is one more lie, I think. We've got one more after this. But the one lie is that God doesn't have anything better for me. That is a powerful lie. How many of us traveled and done everything we could, and we feel we're still in the same spot? You know what? But you know what? God does have something better for you. He didn't believe a lie. He didn't believe a lie that he was better off in the pit and dying. You know what that probably crossed his mind? Being in prison makes you a crazy man. It does. It makes you crazy. And he probably thought, man, I'd rather just be dead inside the pit. Why didn't they let the animals get me in there? Could have been. You know, his mind is just going. But I tell you what, he didn't believe it. He didn't submit himself to that lie. So we expose that lie, that our life could have been better. I tell you what, God is good. Amen. Now, his reaction, his attitude made his life better. It made his life better. Now, this is the last lie that we're going to talk about tonight. Joseph never looked at his brothers and said, it's your fault. The blame game. Whenever you feel yourself rising up, it's your fault we're in this mess. I see a lot of TV, excuse me. But whenever you get that and you start going over there, and you start figuring out to start telling people and looking at life and start trying to track down the history of why you're in this mess. That's just the enemy. We need to expose that lie. We need to tell that lie to get away from us. You know, sometimes God, through divine intervention, is going to get you to the path he needs you to get you to. Like I said before, Joseph had to go through this. He was about to be given the keys to the nation. And God needed to make sure he can handle with all the humility, every anger assignment that could have been sent to him, he had. And he just rebuked it, refused it, and kept walking, kept his integrity. He didn't bite off his brother's head in 45. He didn't go and get after them and say, this is what you did to me. He just looked at them and he just loved them. They were shocked when they seen it was him. And he just loved them. You know, that is God. To look at someone that tried to kill you and just cry on their neck. To give them all that you have and say, everything I have is yours. That is love. He said, I'm just glad. What did he say? I'm just glad that you're alive and that I can take care of you. Like I said, no matter who we change in life, if we can't change our home, change everybody else, then, you know, we just got to keep living. Amen? We just got to keep lifting up God. They're going to see it one day. We just got to keep living, keep lifting up God. They're going to see. Do you think that's what Joseph did in that prison? He just kept living, praising God, saying, bless the Lord. And we all do that. We all say, thank you, God. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. But you know what? People see that. People see that. And his family, it built the man that needed to be there when his family needed to be saved. And that's what we need to be. God needs to get us to the point to build us to the man and woman of God that he needs. So when our family needs a saving, they look at us and they just accept it. And you hug their neck and they come to God. That is one of the most important things that we all have to. So we have to be determined. We have to be determined that no matter what, no matter who hurt you, no matter what position your life is in right now, no matter if you felt like it didn't matter, before, we have to look at life and say, I am determined God's got good things for me. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, I thank you, God, that you're here tonight, Father, and we're just receiving your word. And Father, I thank you, God, for the words that you've given to share with everyone, Father. Lord, we are grateful that we can expose the enemy's lies and look at our life and say, hey, we're not going to let those lies keep us from enjoying where we're at today. In Jesus' name, Father, bless everyone here. Keep them safe, Father. Take care of our kids upstairs and we have fun. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. We're dismissed, right? Unless you want to get shot by a Nerf gun. No, I'm just kidding.